Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Kevin Voss, New York Giants tight end, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we're back live tournament pizza here at the St. Pete Racquet Club. A lot of stuff still to get to.
Yeah, tons.
I need to pack for my trip to Salt. No, I'm not. I'm taking a backpack, but I'm headed out to Salt Lake City. UFC returns to Salt Lake. I'm looking forward to it. We'll talk about who I'm going to see out there. I haven't talked to this person in quite some time. MMA related, the widow of the late, great Ryan Bennett from MMA Weekly. So we'll talk about that a little bit more. Let's welcome to the program Matthew Smeldesberger. Matt, how are you? Oh, now I'm told the call dropped.
Oh, it must be in Brazil.
He must be in Brazil.
Well, does Salt Lake City have electricity? Aren't there like some like
no? It's not like Pennsylvania.
Who are the people with the no buttons and the shiny stuff?
Yeah, the Amish.
Yeah, they're in Utah, right?
Like no
buggies and stuff.
No, that's Pennsylvania.
I was terrified. I tried to turn right, like and do a double lane with a buggy, and then the asshole and a Hyundai yelled at me for turning the corner too wide. It's just right here on 4th Street.
Wow. Yeah, Mormons are out in Salt Lake.
Remember that Amish Mafia show? Remember they had like this whole like club? It was scary.
Before you get us thrown off, do me a favor and just shut up. Let's let's head back out to Salt Lake as we get ready for this weekend's huge UFC card. And welcome to the program, Matthew Smeldesberger. Matthew, how are you?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Not too bad. We appreciate it. And right out of the blocks, I got to tell you, my favorite day of the year is November 23rd.
Oh, really?
It is without a doubt.
Any reason why?
Well, it's without a doubt the most important date in my life. It's my wife's birthday.
Oh, very cool, man. Very cool.
So now we have a connection. You know, it's all part of the family. The November 23rd portion. Talk to me about fight week and how you handle fight week and how you will get through the next couple days.
Yeah. So beginning of fight week is usually, well, I usually get out to wherever we're fighting a week early. Some guys get out here like Tuesday of fight week. That's when you actually have to be out here. But I like to get out here usually a week or a little over a week so I can kind of acclimate to wherever I'm fighting and get used to my surroundings and stuff like that. So the beginning is actually really, really chill, really fun. You know, I'm still eating and drinking whatever I want. In terms of the weight cut and stuff like that. And then once I get to, like, today, Wednesday, everything starts changing. That's when, you know, I have to be on point with, you know, my diet, on point with the water loading and cutting and stuff like that. So it kind of flips, or I should say the script kind of gets flipped halfway through the week. You know, you go from, you know, just trying to stay relaxed and focused until you got to deal with all the weight cuts, the media obligations, you know, you're visiting a whole bunch of different UFC officials every day to check in with different things. So it's a lot, man. But at the same time, how do I deal with it? I just kind of stay in the moment. And that's the best thing you can do, at least for me. I feel like if I'm thinking too much ahead or thinking too much behind, it kind of gives me a little bit of anxiety. But kind of take it day by day, man, especially when the weight cut starts to suck. That's
the
best you can do.
And, you know, and that's what I was going to ask. In a way, is this beneficial so that you're not dwelling on, you know, the task at hand, which is the reward on Saturday? Do you try not to think about, you know, the fight on Saturday? Or are you like, what is it, Rocky Balboa 3, where he puts the photo of Mr. T on the mirror and he looks at it all the time? Which is that? Are you thinking about Saturday or are you trying not to?
I mean, I definitely am thinking about Saturday, but it's like, I'm not overthinking. So I guess the best way to put it is like, it's good to think about the fight, but it's not good to overthink. So it's a good servant, but a bad master.
So Matt, like, I mean, I lived in Denver back in 2001. Obviously the altitude was a huge advantage for athletes. They would come out and train. They would have this endurance and advantage of fighting in altitude. What is it like nowadays, like if you're not living in altitude, like in Salt Lake City, obviously it's elevated. Is it technology? Do you have enough gyms so you can simulate the same type of training, or do you still have to go somewhere for that fight coming up?
I mean, I don't think you can ever simulate actual altitude, you know, an actual Mother Nature out in those states that are high up. But you can definitely kind of do your best to get adjusted to it. And like I said kind of before, I like to get out to the places I'm fighting early. So particularly out here in Salt Lake, because we're out in elevation. I gave myself, I got here Friday of this last week. So I had 9 days counting to the fight from when I got here. So I feel like that, on top of all the training and all the cardio I've been putting in, is going to be, it's not going to affect me too much. And I've spent time out in elevation before, out in Albuquerque, training a little bit. And then also, you know, I've gone snowboarding and taking trips over to Colorado, you know, Breckenridge, Steamboat, stuff like that. So I feel like my body is always getting kind of adjusted and ready for this stuff, but it's just a matter of kind of getting out here at a good time and then just kind of let my body get used to it.
Talk about, you know, the task at hand, Saturday night, getting back in the octagon, your opponent. What do you know about your opponent? And I always ask, you know, the fighters, does it even matter? You know, it's more what you're going to bring, not what the opponent can do.
Right, yeah, man. I mean, that's kind of hit the nail on the head right there, man. You really got to focus more on what you're going to do, or what your game plan is. It's just like, if you're playing off of your opponent too much, it's almost like, you know, you start a race and he's got the gun to start it. So it's like he has that advantage if you're purely playing off his timing. So you really do have to focus on yourself and focus on what you're trying to do. But in terms of my opponent, he's another striker. I know, I mean, obviously anybody in the UFC has got a good ground game. They can fight anywhere the fight goes. But this guy likes to stand. He's a southpaw. He's a little bit, I mean, he's fairly long. He moves well. He's coming up from lightweight, actually, so he's going to be a little bit faster and a little bit more agile, I think, than a lot of the guys I've faced in the past. So I have prepped for that. Not as big as I usually am coming into fights, so I've kind of made my adjustments ever since I heard that I was going to be fighting this guy, so.
What's the craziest, strangest, most bizarre thing that's ever either happened during a fight you were in, or, you know, with you, or involving you?
Okay, so I had a fight out in, where was it? Somewhere in Pennsylvania, and I fought this dude, and it was a close first round. Second round, I started doing really good work and kind of dominating him, and then at the end of the second round, they had to stop the fight because somewhere on this dude's, like, index finger or middle finger or something like that, like, he had gotten, like, a severely, severely deep cut. And they had no idea, like, how it happened. And when I mean, like, severely deep, man, like, I got to see it. You could, like, literally see down to this dude's bones. So it was, like, gnarly, gnarly looking. It's like, we had no idea how that happened at all. So that was probably one of the crazier ones that I can think of, man.
Did you ever, or did they ever figure out how it happened?
No, I even went back and watched the film, and I was trying to figure it out, and I guess my best guess was, like, maybe we were up against the cage or something like that, and maybe he was breaking his fall, or there was, like, something along the fence that caught the right angle or the skin and just, like, chopped that thing up.
Interesting. Final question for you. Does it matter to you where you are on the card? You know, some people, you know, we just talked to Miranda, and, you know, with the crowd, and she said that she'd rather sometimes fight at the Apex because of the lack of crowd, and with her being the first fight of the night, she's kind of looking forward to that. Does it matter to you?
Nah, man, not at all, because I can appreciate both settings, you know, especially either Apex or, you know, early in the card where there's not as many people there, you know, because it's like, it's more closer to, like, an actual fight, like, if you were a warrior, you know, thousands of years back and you went one-on-one with somebody, you know, just out and wherever you were living, I feel like that's kind of like what it stimulates. But then, you know, I've been, when I fought out in Dallas, I was the, I think, last prelim before the main card. So that place was freaking stacked with people, when I got to go in and fight. That was like a whole different experience in itself. Very exciting. Very nerve wracking in a way, but they're both different. And I can definitely appreciate both of them. If I had to choose, though, I want a huge crowd, man. I feel like I turn up and I do way better at entertaining people when I have a crowd around me. It's like almost like that feeling. You know people are watching you, so you know you have to just ball out and you have to go hard. So I think hopefully there'll be a good bit of people here. I think this is a giant card, so I think there's going to be a decent amount of people there from the early prelims on to the whole main card.
I certainly hope so, and it's one of my biggest pet peeves. And just so you know, I've been covering the UFC since the very first one, longest running MMA show, blah, 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 probably way before you were even born. And one of my biggest pet peeves is that, you know, every seat is not full before the first fighter walks out. It drives me crazy. You're an MMA fan. You're coming for the fights, and you're not there for every fight. It bothers me a great deal.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, I mean, let's like, you got your casual fans and you got your hardcore fans. So I feel like, you know, it's at least nowadays, you're getting a lot of more casual people coming out for this, for these events and stuff like that. So shout out to all the hardcore fans who are coming out to the prelims and showing the support for everybody on the card. You guys are the real ones.
For sure. Matt, I appreciate your time. Have fun through the process. Enjoy yourself on Saturday. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a box of goodies from Bucked Up Energy Drink as well.
Cool, dude. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. And don't blink on Saturday, man. I'm going to put on the best show of my life.
And we will see you in the media room after your victory.
That's a great answer, by the way. All right, we got to add it to our list of favorite expressions.
Thanks, Matt. Matt will be back in the octagon on Saturday. And don't blink, because if I'm blinking, I'm running into the media room. Because that's when the victors come in.
Oh.
You know, they come in and we get to talk to them and shoot some video, and so we'll be able to do that. And
we're going to see fireworks, going to see explosions, going to see Don't Blink. I like it. Add to the repertoire.
There you go. Let's hit a quick break. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink.
To want me.
Hello, hello, this is Robin Zander. I want you to listen to Randy Harris. That's right, he's my friend.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up Energy Drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shoppe. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink, where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team, where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Kurt Gowdy, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Now, I'm not a baseball guy.
Okay.
We know that.
We know
that. We talk about it.
We heard about it.
That was Kurt Gowdy.
Kurt Gowdy. And he played baseball.
He was the voice of the Dodgers.
Oh, okay. Did he have a bat? How much was his bat?
His bat was very worthwhile.
What did a bat cost back in the day? When you were bat boy for the St. Louis Cardinals, my favorite team growing up, because of the Wizard of Oz, obviously.
Ozzy was hanging out with Matt Hughes the other day.
What? Yeah. Where was I? Where's my invite?
A, nobody likes you.
It's not true.
And B, you were out of the country.
I have more fans than you do. I brought my own today.
Yeah. And you turned it off.
I turned it off. Because I'm not sharing fans anymore. Like, you're a nobody on social media, and I can't follow that.
That's
okay. Well, we're gonna build it up. Everybody go see what is it?
It's
Randy Harris 1805.
No, it's knockout _ radio on his Instagram.
Randy Harris War of 1812. That's a good year.
I wouldn't know.
That music was made then. The Motorhead album came out on the battleship.
I wonder if, you know, and I guess if we had an extra microphone we could ask Steve, but you know, I wonder if Lemmy was, and I'm not trying to be funny and sarcastic or whatever. I'm being
serious.
Leave
that to me.
Being serious. If Lemmy was like Ozzy, you know, where Ozzy, when he talks, you can't understand a dang thing, you know, but when he sings, you can, or at least some of it. You know, Lemmy, like I said, I interviewed him for a good 8-10 minutes, and it was like being with you. Just, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, neither
do
I.
So I don't know if
we're not alone in that. We're not alone by that.
Do you really want to win $1 billion? What would you do if you won $1 billion?
I don't know, but you see the lady online that spoofed everybody?
Yeah.
Like, she claims she won. She ran out, said she needed security and didn't feel safe, and everybody chased her down the street.
Why would you do that?
Brilliant.
But why?
It's brilliant.
Why is it brilliant?
Oh, it's just so good. I mean, she's like, oh, I don't want to get TV, and like, it just went viral. Like, everybody saw it.
I just don't know if it makes whatever.
Did Carrot Top ever have an album? Because Weird Al did, and he was awesome. Like, I would get a Weird Al and Yankovic album. That's my favorite artist.
He's very talented.
He's the best.
Very talented.
He can make fun of anything.
He was here in town.
Was he?
Yeah. You know, I don't know how long ago. It could have been years at this point. Dang. But
you consider him a musician or a comedian?
Well, first of all, he could be considered both.
Okay.
But I think if you told me I had to pick one, he's a musician.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, the talent that he did, and again, it's I want to be careful. I don't
do
want
it.
I don't want
to.
Break his
legs.
No. He's very talented. And what I was going to say is, a lot of the hard work is already done
because it's already a hit song.
Yeah,
and you have the melody, you have the lyrics. You got to change it.
Now you just change it, and you're a genius to be able to change the words and like he has done. But it's not like, and I'm sure he can write music. I'm not saying that. But what he has done, and he's so talented at, is he takes an existing song and changes the words to make a funnier song.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would definitely say that he would be a...
Did he ever do the Star Spangled Banner one?
I don't know. But are you bringing that up because of the U.S. women's soccer team?
I don't
is that why you did that?
Perhaps. I mean, I did see an informative video. They're talking about wage disparity between men and women, that the men's USA soccer team brings in like something like $6 billion of revenue, and they get 7% of that as a divided out to the staff, to the players, which is $400 million in payouts, where the women only generate $131 million, not billion, million, and they get 20% of the share because they're women. And so it's like, but the stance is they should get paid based on what they bring in, a percentage of. So the percentages should be equal, and you should be able to make more than the men if the women bring more eyes, more draw, more revenue. Sure. It should be based on what you, what product you bring to the field or to the pitch, is what they call in Brazil.
Well, no, they call it the pitch.
And I'm pretty much a Major League Soccer, a football extraordinaire. I played.
Yeah, we saw the goal
against a professional, Thiago Martinelli from Vasco in Brazil, a retired professional. There's three of them on the field, and I scored that magnificent goal.
All right, first
with this right foot. We call it a Ralphie, where I'm from. When you turn right, you take a little bit of a swing, a little bit of a curve. Boom, bingo!
All right, I want to ask a serious question. How long has that 12-year-old girl been playing goal that you scored on?
Well, he's transitioning, and he's going to make the U.S. women's soccer team this year. And they're coming from Brazil because UFC's dead there. Nobody knows what fighters are. They don't even know. It's all soccer.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
And now Messi's here. We have the greatest soccer player in Miami, period.
That's true right now. So would you rather be the greatest, or would you rather be Mbappe with the best contract?
Oh, take the money.
Absolutely.
Take the money.
Absolutely.
But I don't know.
Absolutely.
Of a Messi's contract, he gets points on Amazon, streaming.
Well, yeah, he's going
to. When it all shakes out, he will own more because he got 12 billion. I think it was like 12 billion people watched that kick live streamed.
No, no. 12 billion. Did you say billion or million?
Billion.
12 million were in the arena.
Yeah, it was.
No, everybody was in the arena.
So the money that he's making on the point side is way more than the contract, which is excessive and massive.
I think they said like Mbappe's with $785 million is going to be like, I forget what they said, $120 million a game or $80 million a game. It's just something ridiculous.
Crazy. I don't want to put my brother-in-law business on blast, but my wife's family are extremely like well-to-do. They're so wealthy. You know what wealthy people do, Randy?
And they allowed her to marry you?
You know what they do on a different side? Like kind of down the lawn.
You are.
Different branch.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know what they do? The family never travel together. They meet places because if there's an accident, a car wreck, an airplane, you won't see the father, the sons, the all in one plane going to a family vacation. They separate because of the amount of wealth, and there's no one to operate the empire. That's the kind of level of stuff is in Brazil.
And you've been planning for them to be on the same plane.
Well, I got my license.
You were going to fly it? Well, that doesn't do you any good.
My license says that I'm operating a machine, a heavy machinery. That qualifies. If I can drive Big Red through sand dunes with you in the Jeep Beach on Daytona Beach, I'm qualified to fly a plane.
Did you see the news about your boy?
Which one?
Terry Bollea?
No.
Terry Bollea got engaged.
Oh, nice.
This will be number three.
Congratulations, Terry. Nice.
That number three. And he said that he was really nervous.
Okay.
Were you nervous? Seriously. Because you know.
Because you were you wanted to get married. Like you probably asked and she said yes. Right? Traditional.
Why, you saying you did it differently?
Not way different. I was working.
They put a gun to your head and said?
I was working. My wife calls me in a panic. We need to talk. What about? I'm busy. I'm in the middle of a dinner rush. I go there in a panic thinking that I did something wrong. Thinking she was breaking up with me. She informs me that her visa is expiring. That she doesn't want to be illegal in the U.S. That she has to either get married or go back home. We had been dating for 3 months. And I said, that's it. You called me away from work for this. And I went to the courthouse the next day. We got married. And then the same night.
And she's regretted it ever since.
I opened my first pizzeria the same day we got married. I went to McDonald's for lunch. Went to the restaurant from 2 to 10. Filled out all the immigration papers. And she's been my wife for 19 years.
And she's been trying to get out of it for 18 and a half.
You don't know that. She loves me.
Okay, 19. I was giving you like the first 6 months.
We went on the same plane to Brazil last week, so I know it's true love.
Let's go hit a quick break. Two action-packed conversations when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Hall of Famer Monty Irvin. And you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
How's it going, everybody? It's Jordan with Curated Heat, one of the best vintage stores in St. Petersburg, Florida. We are located on 2356 Central Ave in downtown St. Petersburg. We have sold to many different type of people, including Super Bowl winning athletes, celebrities, influencers. We do everything from vintage clothing, Supreme, Hypewear, Kicks, everything you could want, man. So make sure to come stop on down and see us at Curated Heat. Make sure to contact us on our Instagram at Curated Heat or our whatnot at Curated Heat. Again, our Instagram at Curated Heat or whatnot at Curated Heat.
The hobby of trading cards is back and better than ever. Rhino Cards, specializing in sports cards, Star Wars, and MetaZoo, has just opened a second location in St. Petersburg at 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B, and would love you to stop by to buy, sell, or trade cards. Rhino Cards is a licensed Upper Deck Diamond dealer as well as licensed Fanatics and Topps dealer. Get back in the hobby or add that special card at Rhino Cards, 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B in St. Pete, and 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Bain's Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Bain's can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainsart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
What's up, Florida? This is Sam Madison of the New York Giants, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza here at the St. Pete Racquet Club. A lot of things still to talk about. UFC 2. What are you shaking your head about?
It's a sad day. We didn't hear the 10 bells salute. Like, we lost an icon today.
All right, we'll talk about it in a second. I don't want to be disrespectful to whoever you're talking about, but I certainly don't want to be disrespectful to our next guest, who will be participating at UFC 291. Beast Mode, Darius.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Darius, how are you doing?
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate your time. First and foremost, happy belated birthday.
No, my birthday's next month.
No, I thought it was early this month. I'm sorry. All right.
Nope.
Let's start over. Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
let's start with, you know, it's fight week. What's fight week like, and how will you keep fight week just like any other week?
Fight week for me is normally a little bit different each time, depending on what weight class I'm fighting. This time, it's short notice, but I got my team here with me, and they're helping me out, you know, walking me through everything.
Tell me, you know, I know it's short notice, and I've been told that necessarily the UFC didn't call your management and you reached out to them. Is that how this happened?
Yeah, that's exactly how it happened. I've been waiting on the fight to fall through for... away, and we've got right. He got it to me within an hour. We were booked.
So obviously that means that you had to be, you know, semi ready. I mean, you can't be 100% ready because you don't know. But
I'm supposed to fight in February. That fell through, and so it's been 11 months of training. So I mean, there's no excuses.
And you're going to need a break after this. So it really worked out. The sooner you could get a fight, you can
I want to fight again this summer at my actual weight class. Because they promised me a fight at 155 this summer anyway. I stepped up. Like you said, I called and got this fight booked. So they still owe me a fight at 155, to be honest, for the summertime. Hopefully, I'm not sure if they will get it. No, but hopefully they will. I see they booked three lightweights in the last 24 hours. So that kind of sucks.
Well, Darius, maybe we can get you three fights by the end of the summer. We can cut Randy in half, and you can show him beast mode for getting his birthday wrong and disrespect. Right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I think we could.
That ain't very nice. Come on. Give me your thoughts on your opponent. What do you think about Jake?
Jake's a good opponent. Good fight, a lot of fights. I know he's pretty normal, though. You know what I mean? Just a normal, good fighter. I'm not going to say what I think he's good at and what he's not good at, but I think he's just, I wouldn't say predictable, but he's your average good fighter. You know what I mean? Well, he's a UFC caliber fighter, obviously. He's been in the UFC for 9 years, 11-6 record in the UFC, 18-6 overall. So, I mean, he's a good fighter. There's nothing that I can say take that away from him.
No, for sure. Now, with it being a short notice fight, a lot of fighters say, you know, how much, you know, video and how much tape they look at.
Obviously, I'm obsessed. I'm always obsessed. I don't care if I got one day to look. I'm going to know his dog's name. I'm going to know his wife's name. I know everything. I'm literally obsessed when it comes to fight week or my opponent. Yeah, I'm every day, all day, watching videos, looking at his page, going back years ago. How did he look when he was 15? I don't care. Everything. It all matters.
I need you part of my research team then.
Yeah, actually, because you know what really grinds my gears is all these guys out here predicting fights without any real information. And the information is out there if you look for it. You know what I mean? Like, it baffles me.
So Darius, along those lines, I mean, on your Instagram, it says in your description, future two-division champ. I mean, obviously the internal belief you have in yourself, has that come all from within and futuristic because you know the game and you've studied so much? Or is that from, like, coaches that are in the game in the UFC telling you, hey, man, you've got everything you need. Both. You will be champ one day.
Both. Nice. And it's not 170 that I was going to be champion in. It's 145, 155. 155 first. And, you know what I mean? Then we can, you know. But I can't see myself being a double champion. I can't.
I love that power belief, man. I got that will, that internal drive is impressive, man. So go get that.
Absolutely. Darius, what's the strangest, craziest, funniest, whatever, you know, thing that's ever happened, you know, during a fight that you were in?
Oh, the strangest, funniest thing that's ever happened, probably my contender series fight, pretty strange. And I find it funny now because the guy that I fought is just a piece of shit. But it was pretty strange the way it finished because he didn't tap right away. Tapped like 10 seconds later when I was getting out of the submission. And it was just strange. But at the same time, it's pretty funny. You know, they made all those memes saying that it was 69 positions. So, yeah, that was strange and funny.
You know, because they also said something because it was like a slam, right?
Right.
Which for the older fans of the UFC, they would remember that that's Matt Hughes, Carlos Newton as well. Basically,
yeah, and not only him, Rampage Jackson, it's a bunch of other guys who are known for slamming the shit out of people.
You know, which, and he said ship.
Oh, sorry, just, I wasn't, yeah.
It's all good. The ship. I just wanted people to know that you said ship, because there's a ship on the front of my computer. I did some real quick research, and I saw that you were going to do a bare-knuckle fight as well?
I've been booked to fight in Canada for bare-knuckle, I want to say once or twice. I know for MMA once. But it fell through. I believe it was something with my opponent. One of the times it was something where I didn't get my passport in time. I was supposed to fight in Beijing before for MMA for King of the Cage. And actually, that's how, what's the kid named 170? Chaos Williams made it to the UFC because he ended up going to Beijing in place of me and beating up an Asian kid. And then he went right to the UFC after that. But I didn't get my passport in time. I was the guy that they actually invited.
So is that something that, you know, at some point, you know, obviously you're now in the UFC, hopefully a long career there. Is that something that you'd like to maybe, you know, look into down the road?
Yeah. Well, as far as bare knuckle, no. Nah. That's what you asked me? Do I want to do bare knuckle? Nah. I never wanted to do it, to be honest with you. It was just I liked the opponent and the pay that they were going to pay me. So that's the thing. Like, yeah, I mean, I don't want to do it. I'm not looking forward to doing anything like that. I'm an MMA fighter. But if the opponent is right and the money is right, possibly. But I'm not looking to leave the UFC and have to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking, like I said, I'm looking to be a double champion and retire like Habib did, or retire like my coach Lewis Taylor did, or, you know what I mean?
Right, right. You know, that was maybe a way into the UFC, and now that you're in the UFC, you don't need to look back. You just need to look forward.
Correct. Yeah, correct. You know what I mean? So, we're just looking forward to the up and up with the UFC. Any other promotion right now is not even on my radar.
No, for sure. And let's be honest, it shouldn't be.
Right. Yeah, I don't see myself. I'm better than a lot of these guys, bro. Including the Jake Matthews guy, man. He's a good fighter, like I said, but my style works for this fight. You know what I mean? I just feel like I'm going to go out there and win the fight. And, like, to be honest with you, man, if people say I'm going to lose a decision, I've never lost a decision in my life, okay? Second of all, I have been finished, but that was years and years, years ago. The last time he finished a guy by submission was 7 years ago. The last time he's knocked somebody out was just two fights ago, but that was the first time, I want to say, in 5 years. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I'm ready. It's a good matchup, man. I don't think he'll be able to take my power. And if he can, I'll be prepared to keep going, you know what I mean, for three rounds. People look at think, like, oh, I'll go out there and gas out. But that's not even the case. We'll win every round if I don't finish him.
Then I'm assuming 98% of those people that are saying that have never seen you fight or probably never seen you train either.
I know. Yeah, they haven't seen you train for sure.
I love those experts that really don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, it's a video on YouTube where I was on 200 pounds and I had a fight. You know what I mean? Totally different. That was 3.5-4 years ago as well. You know what I mean? I didn't even train for that fight. But, that's what they're going off of.
All good. Hey, enjoy the week. Enjoy the process. Have fun on Saturday. We'll be on a plane out there on Friday. We'll see you in the media room after your victory on Saturday.
Yes,
and
sir.
Thank you for your time. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong.
Nice.
As well as a box of goodies from Bucked Up Energy Drink as well.
Nice. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, guys.
Thank you for your time. That is Darius Flowers in the Octagon, short notice. And I loved it. You know, where typically the UFC calls, hey, are you available? They're making the phone calls. And it wasn't even his management. You know, when I did my, 2.5 minutes of research, he called management and said, hey, get me this.
Well, you should have called him and find out when his birthday was.
I should have. Well, I blew it.
Yeah.
So now when I go up and say, hey, I'm the guy that owes you a birthday gift. See, because now, if I missed it, I was saying the belated.
Yeah.
But now that it's future, now I have to send him something.
For sure.
I will.
And he's going to beat you up twice.
You know what I'm going to send him? I might send him this Motorhead t-shirt.
Oh, nice.
Re-gift.
You have to translate it for him.
whatever it takes.
Won't be able to read it.
All right, let's go hit a quick break. Coming to you from Tournament de Pizza here at the St. Pete Racquet Club. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink.
Hey, this is Phyllis Proctor. You're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Tour de Pizza is back.
as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. Now remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Barrett Root of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Root, a lot of stuff we need to talk about. Training camps opened up, I believe, out at One Buck. We're going to talk about that here after the next segment. But let's continue talking MMA, UFC, and specifically last night's edition of The Ultimate Fighter. Let's welcome to the program last night's winner, and I know this was from months ago as well, Austin Hubbard. Austin, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. Obviously, we're going to talk everything up to what we witnessed last night. Talk about leading up to, you know, the semifinal fight last night. How's everything in the house? Obviously, it's now 7-1. Talk about the house.
Yeah. So, you know, the house was, is pretty low key. It wasn't, too bad. Everyone in the house was, pretty cool. You know, we all got along fairly well and, you know, there wasn't really too much house drama. You know, so pretty well and we all, you know, stayed pretty cool with each other and at least made the best of the time.
Which really is uncommon. You know, I've covered and watched, you know, every season of The Ultimate Fighter, and normally there is a little, you know, whatever it may be, whether it's pranks that get out of hand, and it doesn't seem like any of that has happened up to this point.
Yeah, I mean, there was some pranks, there was some, you know, heated exchanges a little bit, nothing too serious. They didn't really show too much of that for whatever reason. But, yeah, I mean, they brought in a lot of, you know, high-level professional fighters. So with that, they take that this opportunity very serious. You know, they're not here to kind of act a fool on TV or have TV time or, you know, just be there to party or anything. They're there to make the best of an opportunity. And, you know, that's you know, how it went for the most part.
We have Jason Knight on each and every week to talk about the night before's episode. So I asked him the same thing I'm going to ask you. When you guys walked into the house and Dana had the board up and it had the breakdowns, your first reaction and how long until you found out that you didn't have to go to the, you know, to Connor's side, that you guys could stay, you know, Team Chandler and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, it was probably a day or so before I found out that we didn't. It was kind of up to us if we wanted to switch sides or not. At first, I thought we were going to be forced to, which I wasn't too excited about. At the end of the day, I would have gone over and I would have done it. But, you know, when it's up to us, for me, it wasn't a matter of not respecting Connor or his coaches, because I do have respect for him and his coaches. It just didn't make sense to me to, a few days out from the fight, switch everything I've been doing, all new looks, all new voices, and all those sorts of things. So that was my, you know, ultimate decision cue right there to, you know, just stay put. And why switch it up right now, just a few days out from the fight?
I've always, this is just my opinion, an old fat guy, you know, sitting on a microphone, that, you know, when The Ultimate Fighter goes on, you know, sometimes you do know of each other, sometimes you may even know each other, but it's still not, you know, you're not teammates. to me, you know, and I'll let you explain your thoughts in a minute. You know, and it's even in a gym, if somebody comes in for 2 weeks and you train with them, you're not teammates. You may be training for 6, 7, 8 days. So how did you handle that? And as we watch the episode and Roosevelt saying, you know, he didn't expect to become friends, but did. How do you try to keep that side? You're there for a job.
Yeah. You know, it's the whole Ultimate Fighter experience is a very unique experience. You know, you're locked away from your family, you're cut off from the world, no contact with anyone but the people around you. You know, there's no phones, internet, you can't read books, can't listen to music, so there's a lot of downtime, you know, when you're not training. So you then do become, you know, pretty close with the people, quote-unquote, on your team through that experience. And then you kind of get to know each other, and obviously, Ro and I, we were like main training partners together. So we all hung out, you know, in the house all day. We were training all day together. You know, you just get to know someone. You get to, you know, hear their stories and you start to feel for them and all those sorts of things. You know, at the end of the day, we are fighters. And I get it. We have a job to do, but we are also humans.
Sure.
You know, it's not always that easy to just go in there and, you know, and not that I even think we weren't going after. I thought we put on a, you know, pretty decent fight. It was a technical fight. You know, obviously we had a lot of respect for each other, but I didn't. It's just a different experience, to say the least.
No, and I totally get it. And again, you know, my side has always been, and not to disagree with obviously Dana White, but, you know, the object's to get to the finale. The object is to win the finale. You know, you don't, in my opinion, again, as the, you know, the old fat guy, you know, you don't necessarily, if you don't have to go balls to the wall to win a fight, don't do it because you have another fight coming up. So I get that as well.
Yeah. And, on top of that, like Ro is a very dangerous opponent. Like, we did a lot of training together as well as just in general. He's very skilled and he has very good attributes. Like, that's not a fight you can just go in there and not be on point and just be reckless because he's going to knock you right out. And there goes your shot. So, you know, I feel like that was two high-level fighters. And, yeah, we did. Always get turned into a bloody wild brawl. You know what I mean? Just how some fights go. I mean, look at Israel Adesanya's fights and his title offenses. It's not necessarily boring or this or that. It's really technical because sometimes when you're facing high-level opponents, that's just how it goes, technical and tactical.
For sure. And again, we're only talking up through last night, but I'm curious, once your fight's over, you're basically now done on the season. You know, we'll wait for the finale. We'll wait for who your opponent is, all that down the road. I'm just curious. As soon as that fight's over, you're announced the winner. Is it kind of like, you know, a sense of relief, you know, now that your portion of the show is over?
Yeah, it is, because everyone wants to know what happens. Everyone wants to know if you made it to the finals. And now the world has seen and, you know the results. I'm in the finals. And you can kind of speak a little more freely.
For sure. You know, and it's funny because as Dave Lockett helps set these interviews up every week, and I tell him right from the, you know, I don't want to know anything. You know, I find out on Tuesday like everybody else. We do these chats like everybody else. But, you know, I can't wait to find out who's in the finale after having everybody on the whole season. And but I don't want to know, you know, until it happens. So I can imagine, you know, now that everybody, you know, you're the first fighter. So whoever's fighting fourth, I think Jason Knight said he's fighting third. You know, they have to wait another week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. At least now you can, you know, let that out. Very cool. Austin, thank you very much for your time. Looking forward to seeing you wherever the finale is going to be. We plan on being there. I enjoyed the season, and thank you for your time.
I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
We'll talk to you again soon. That is Austin Hubbard in the finale of season 31 of The Ultimate Fighter. So it's been a cool season. I have enjoyed it, and I have to be honest, I wanted it to be a clean sweep.
Sure. I think you do at some point, right? Don't you want the perfect game, the perfect season,
Well, I for a reason.
Like, the Dream Team was so dominant. You just, like, wanted to watch them just beat, you know, Liverpool into, like, obliteration if they played them.
Well, but you wanted them to lose, too.
Okay, Liverpool country.
No, I don't think so.
I guess I'm not a very good soccer analyst.
Yeah, you're not a very good anything.
What about Manchester?
You know, but I wanted it to be a clean sweep because I'm not a big fan of the other team. I'm not talking about the fighters. I'm not a big Conor guy.
Oh, come on. He's the greatest thing to come out of Ireland. Name one other thing. Be sensitive.
No, isn't there a beer that comes out of there?
Sure.
Is it Guinness?
Guinness comes out of there.
Yeah. I went to the brewery.
Okay.
You know, I went there for a fight.
What else comes out of Ireland?
Really cool castles.
They don't come out. Like, you can't transport them.
Well, no. Right. Well, yeah, they don't come out, but they are there.
Yeah, the castles are cool. And they have great golf courses, probably.
Yeah.
And pubs. Pubs are cool.
You know, I didn't really.
Really?
Yeah. Again, I don't drink. So I did like, you know, how loud they get. You know, if there was a football game on or, you know, whatever, you know, it gets a little out there.
Well, since Conor McGregor is obviously the biggest star to ever come from Ireland, it's sad news. I report Sinead O'Connor passed away today.
Oh, really?
The Ireland superstar with Nothing Compares to You, the Prince cover, made her global. So, our condolences to everybody that knew her and was touched by her music and the impact she had and left behind.
I will say this about Sinead O'Connor. You know, I don't remember much. You know, I don't remember 99.9% of the fights I've been to. You know, I can always say which the 5, 6, 8, or 10. One of the coolest moments in my career was when Connor fought, I think it was Chad Mendes.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, she sang. You know, they lifted this thing, you know, came out of the ground. She's up there singing Connor to the cage. I mean, I'll always remember that. And sure. I really didn't know much about her. I still don't. I couldn't tell you anything she sang. I still can't.
Nothing compares to you.
Okay. Nothing does, but I
those are my affirmations for you. Just my friendship. Nothing compares to you, Randall.
I appreciate that.
I'm going to get to a Sinead O'Connor album next time.
Please don't. So I'm making a lot of friends again.
How many fans you got on Instagram?
Six. As I was against Wade Boggs, I still am.
Being in a Hall of Fame.
Yeah, being in their Hall of Fame.
He's a Hall of Famer for the Red Sox.
No, I understand that. Right. And he should be.
Right.
And, you know, he won a ring, you know, in New York as well. I get that, you know, as he's riding the horse off to the sunset. I don't think he did enough here to be in the race. I also, and I'm getting Tony Saunders mad, because not only did he come here to St. Pete to the Trop when Boggs went into that, he was in Cooperstown when Fred McGriff went in as well.
Okay.
So the two things that drive me crazy, one, I like Fred McGriff as a person.
The crime dog?
I'm happy that Fred McGriff is in because I like him, but I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, number one. Number two, Rays fans who are like, yeah, we've got another Hall of Famer. No, you don't. Fred McGriff is not a Ray Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Nobody would even think of him that he played for the Rays.
See, that was back in an era where they had nicknames for baseball players. Like you had Andre the Hawk Dawson, right? Any others? Johnny Bench. He was like solid.
What was Johnny Bench's nickname?
Bench.
Pete Rose, Mr. Hustle. Well, Charlie Hustle.
Charlie Hustle, right? Yeah. And you got the Wizard of Oz.
Mark Fitterich. You know,
no, what was this?
He was the bird.
Okay. Rolly Fingers.
Well, I don't know if that's a nickname.
No, it's a real name.
No, but I'm saying that's not, you know, a nickname is in between the two names. So it would be Rolly Handlebar Fingers.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. My very good friend, Al Raboski, the Mad Hungarian.
Cal 45 Ripken.
I don't think that was his nickname.
It wasn't like a sponsored by an ammo company?
No.
Oh. Billy White Cheese. Yeah, from White Snake.
Yeah, except for that. Great. That's a football player. Awesome. Don't listen to him. Oh,
he's great.
Steve, the producer, yells stuff off, and he's like, let me turn you off.
We need to know. We need to know the birthday of that guy.
Who? Billy White Cheese Johnson?
Any of them.
From the Houston Oilers?
But these have great nicknames. Who has a nickname now?
I don't know. I don't really.
I mean, Aaron Judge probably has one, right? Like All Rise.
I don't know.
Isn't that what they call him?
I don't know.
Aaron All Rise Judged?
That don't even make sense.
Your Honor, All Rise.
Aaron, Your Honor, Judge.
Should be something like that.
It should just mean, his nickname should be Aaron, I Got Paid, Judge.
True. But I think everybody should have a nickname.
Well, but you have one, but I can't say it on the radio for FCC reasons.
Sure. Maybe not for video as well.
So
it's not copyrighted.
We have something pretty cool coming up.
What do you got?
So we're expecting two phone calls.
Okay.
One, he was in Home Improvement.
Oh.
He was in Family Feud. Yeah, God, just cough it out. It's okay. I'll turn you off.
Family Feud.
So he's scheduled to come up. And then a mystery caller at the bottom of the next hour. If internet works there.
Who's the Family Feud guy that
Richard Dawson
that kissed everyone?
Richard Dawson.
He was like the Pepe
before
Le Pew.
COVID. Yeah.
He was like the Pepe Le Pew.
Well, not only did he do it on Family Feud, but he also did it on Match Game. So if you ever watch Match Game, it would be funny. Like they would have. Did you ever watch Match Game?
No.
Do you know anything about it?
Uh-uh.
All right. So we're out of time right now. We will discuss Match Game. If we have time in the second hour. Like I said, two really cool interviews coming up. We're going to start with Richard Karn and then a celebrity superstar. You'll like it.
Wow, I'm excited. Let's go.
We'll be back.
Stranger with a twisted smile and a wandering eye. Your heart is in danger. Come close now.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Baseball Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Own.